Your panel in line, your friendly hometown radio pronouncer, AC. I'll be back following Blazer basketball night, 11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. President Ford heads back to Washington after two appearances in New York. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. After speaking to Wall Street analysts during the afternoon, the president appeared Thursday night at a dinner honoring Vice President Rockefeller. In the latter appearance, the president appealed for a coalition of confidence with the Democratic-controlled Congress. Mr. Ford posed a question.
Can't we consult and act rather than pontificate and poke? I refuse to believe that we have passed the point of no return. In discarding our tradition of nonpartisanship in foreign policy. Further, I refuse to believe that it will become easier to negotiate with foreign adversaries and allies than with the Congress of the United States.
The president announced in his speech that Vice President Rockefeller will become vice chairman of the White House Domestic Council. Rockefeller will organize the council and two of his aides will direct its staff. Rockefeller thus receives major responsibilities rarely given to a vice president. More news in a moment.
Though there are mountains between us, there's nothing in our way. I'll always be part of you, babe. So if you've got a song to sing, teach me the tune. Life is a game two should play. If you're feeling happy, if you want to weep, or you want a warm word before you sleep, remember, good friends are forever. Good friends are forever. Good friends are for keeps.
Tony Bennett sings for the Bell System. Good friends are for keeps. So keep in touch. Long distance is the next best thing to being there.
Good friends are forever. Good friends are for keeps.
Secretary of State Kissinger has completed another round of talks with Middle East leaders. Bruno Wassertile has a report from Jerusalem.
At the end of a busy day of talks with Egyptian leaders in the morning, Syrian leaders in the afternoon, and Israeli leaders at night, Secretary Kissinger indicated that good progress had been made in setting the groundwork for another interim Middle East settlement. He declared that he would be back in the region next month, which observers here interpret as a sure sign that the gap between the Arab and Israeli sides is bridgeable. The secretary maintained that he didn't bring back any concrete proposals, plans, or lines to Israel following his visits to Cairo and Damascus, and insisted that things were still very much in the exploratory stage. However, it's believed here that all sides now know enough specifics to guess at the general shape of an agreement that could be acceptable to the parties involved. At the same time, there's a strong feeling here that whatever interim deal is reached, a reconvening of the Geneva conference won't be far behind. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Jerusalem.
A bomb went off early Friday morning about a mile away from the King David Hotel where Kissinger is staying. Two bodies were found at the site of the explosion. Police believe the dead men may have been carrying the explosive device. No reports of any other casualties. The bomb went off about an hour before Kissinger was scheduled to leave the hotel for a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. House Republican leader John Rhodes says there's a growing feeling among Americans that the Arabs have a case in the Middle East controversy. Rhodes says there is more of a feeling that the United States, as a matter of justice, should study what the Arab case is. However, Rhodes said, the U.S. will continue to support Israel. Montreal police report four persons were shot to death and four others wounded Thursday night in a suburban bar. Details are sketchy, but authorities said three men did the shooting. No motive is known. The government of Cyprus says it will appeal to the UN over a Turkish Cypriot decision to declare a separate state in Turkish-controlled northern Cyprus. Now this.
Silently, relentlessly, and with blinding speed, death strikes in the waters off a peaceful resort community and leaves indescribable terror in its bloody wake. This chilling scene is from Jaws, the most eagerly awaited novel of the year. Yes, Peter Benchley's best-selling blockbuster is now available in paperback to thrill millions of readers with its unbearable suspense. Jaws, the most terrifying reading experience of the year. A Bantam book. Wherever paperbacks are sold.
Attention, America. N.G. Austin wants you to join the Marinas and save $400. The Marinas are the top family sedans from British Leyland. Right now, your N.G. Austin dealer has a limited supply of 1974 Marinas. The low $28.99 four-door price has been slashed by $400 to $24.99. There's a similar saving on the two-door GT. That's got to be the best automotive buy in America. So march down to your N.G. Austin dealer. Join the Marinas. Price does not include transportation, local taxes, preparation charges, or options.
Thursday's advance by Blue Chips produced the heaviest trading in the 183-year history of the New York Stock Exchange. The volume soared to 35,160,000 shares. This was more than 3 million shares greater than the previous record day, this past January 27th. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Jean Stapleton, a PTA member. Everyone talks about the importance of conserving our natural resources. How about our greatest resource, our children, our only real hope for the future? Oh, we may find substitutes for energy and food, but nothing can replace our children. They deserve the best education that we can provide. To ensure this, you can act now by joining a volunteer movement working to enrich the lives of our children. As involved citizens, you can make the PTA your way of bringing about needed changes in education. You can learn about who makes the decisions that count in your schools, decisions about curriculum, about standards for teachers, about school budget. Join the PTA in your school. Every child needs you, and the world needs every child.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. What is terror? It's really only a word, unless you've experienced it. And once you've experienced it, there's no word for it. It defies description. There are all forms of terror. Extreme fear of physical injury, for one. Paralyzing fear of insupportable pain, physical or mental. Mental. This, I'm told, can be the most horrifying form of terror of them all.
You're trying to terrify me.
Terrify? Miss Mead, you've got me all wrong. We here at the Bureau of Human Affairs don't terrify people.
Then why don't you tell me what it is you want to know?
Why don't you tell me? After all, you're the one who knows.
But I know nothing. That's what's terrifying. You want me to tell you something, but I don't know what it is.
But you do. You simply haven't thought about it enough.
I have thought and thought.
No, no, you only think you've thought. Go home now. Go home, Miss Mead. And think some more.
Our mystery drama, A Small Question of Terror, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Terry Keane. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact. The 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Sit around your radio, listening to our mystery show, with someone you'd like to know, and Vina Rose. Pull the shades and lock the door, turn the sound up even more. Get a glass and quickly pour some Vigna Rosé. We hope you'll find our story strange and frightful. We know you'll find our Vigna Rosé. we commence, oh, with a tale of great suspense, brought to you with compliments of Vigna Rosa.
Quoted by Dublin, Hartford, Connecticut. First time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
As I said at the outset, terror can take many forms, disguises. Consider the case of Alexis Mead, a young woman, intelligent, attractive, occupation, sales clerk, engaged to be married, lives with her widowed mother, Emily, whom she supports. The place? An apartment in, a city. A city in, a country. Time? Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Not important. What's important is it happened. And it could happen again.
But, Mother, what does the Bureau of Human Affairs want with me? What could this... What's his name? Where's the letter? Oh, here it is. Gilbert Stainer. What could he possibly want with me?
Well, now, if you ask me, Alexis, it's probably nothing at all. Some little unimportant matter about, I don't know. Nothing to get upset about, dear
Mother.
Mother,
this is from the Bureau of Human Affairs, which is just a cover for the secret police. And this man Stainer is titled here under the signature. He's director of interrogation. In heaven's name, what could he want to interrogate me about?
Well, I can't imagine. I really can't. Unless you did something you shouldn't have done. Did you, Alexis? Like, complain to someone, maybe at the office, that we haven't enough to eat? That the protector, our glorious protector, has called for austerity measures?
Mother, please, stop running on.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I do talk too much. I know.
Mother, you didn't complain about something. Anything? Did you?
Me? Complain?
Say anything that somebody might have reported.
Oh, no, really, Alexis. Oh, I do talk too much. I do, I know. But, my dear, you know better than to ask me that. Well, you know better than to even think. I'd be foolish enough to say anything critical of our protector or the government or anything.
Mother.
Sorry, dear. The letter gives no reason why this Mr. Stürmer wants to see you?
Stainer. No. It just says I'm to appear at his office Monday at 3 p.m.
Well, you'll find out then what it is he wants when you get there.
That's 4 days from now, Mother. I've got to wait and worry for 4 solid days, to say nothing of nights.
Worry? Oh, my dear, I certainly wouldn't worry.
But Mother, some people who have gone into the Human Affairs building, a good many people, have never been seen or heard of again.
Oh, I've heard that.
Well, you can believe it. Oh, I'll get it. Hello?
Eric, honey.
Oh, Eric. How are you, darling?
Well, I'm not sure. I just got home and found a letter waiting for me from the Bureau of Human Affairs.
You too?
What? You?
Yes. I'm ordered to appear at 3 o'clock next Monday.
I've been told to be there at 2.
Who signed your letter?
Somebody named Stainer. Gilbert Stainer. What do you suppose this is all about?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew now instead of having to wait until Monday.
Yeah, me too. It kind of worries me, Alexis.
It scares me, Eric. It scares me half to death.
Yes?
My name is Alexis Mead, and I...
Oh, yes. You're here to see Mr. Stainer at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
You're early.
Oh, I was afraid of being late.
Afraid? What would you be afraid of, Miss Mead?
Well, I didn't mean afraid, exactly.
But that's what you said. There's nothing to be afraid of, Miss Mead, if you have nothing to fear.
I haven't.
Well, then. Eric!
Alexis!
What did he want, Stainer? What did he ask you?
You're next, Miss Mead.
I'll see you later, Alexis.
Come to dinner tonight?
Okay.
Miss Mead is here, Mr. Stainer.
Thank you, Miss Peters. Do come in, Miss Mead.
Thank you.
And sit down, please. That chair in front of my desk. Well, now, Miss Mead, first let me say I'm sorry if you've been put to any inconvenience.
Oh, no. No?
But you did have to take off from your job early. I'm told you lose 2 hours' pay.
Who told you?
It's so, isn't it?
Well, yes, but...
The Bureau will see that you're reimbursed for any loss of pay you incurred today or may incur in the future.
The future? I'll be coming here again?
That'll depend entirely on you. How is your mother?
My mother is fine, thank you, fine.
That arthritis flare-up she suffered last week, that's over with?
Yes.
Delighted to hear it. A cup of coffee?
No, thank you, Mr. Stainer. I'd like to know why...
A cigarette?
Thank you, I don't smoke.
Oh, that's right. You gave up cigarettes several months ago. Too expensive. What with the tax, the surtax and all, I believe you said.
I don't recall saying anything like that.
No?
No.
But that is why you quit.
Yes. Stainer, you certainly didn't ask me here to discuss my reasons for giving up smoking.
No, goodness me, no.
Then why am I here?
It could be that I just like to talk and look at pretty women.
I beg your pardon?
A joke, a little joke. Although you are extremely attractive, you know.
Thank you.
Well, now, I asked you to come here today because...
Because?
I thought there might be something you cared to tell me.
Something I cared to tell you?
Something you might care to tell me.
Such as?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, I'm sure I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what could I know? If you could give me some idea of what it is you're after...
I'm not after anything, Miss Mead. The way you put it, what is it you're after? You make it sound as if I'm pursuing you, trying to hound
you. No, I didn't mean it that way.
No, no, of course you didn't. Well?
Well?
Is there something you might care to tell the Bureau? Tell me.
I can't think of anything, Mr. Stainer.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
Perhaps if you gave it some thought.
What thought? How can I think about something when I don't know what to think about?
It will come to you. Think about it long enough and it'll come. It might be in the morning when you're at work, or during mealtime, or in the middle of the night in bed. You suddenly say to yourself, that's it. That's what I had to tell the Bureau.
Mr. Stainer, I'm sorry, but I can't imagine...
You'll see. Now, you just go away and think about it a while, and you'll see. Let me escort you to the door.
Mr. Stainer, please, I assure you, believe me, there is nothing I know of, can think of. Your hand, Mr. Stainer.
Oh. Sorry. Your coat. I was only admiring the cloth. I like the, feel of cloth like this. So soft. So pleasurable to the touch. Soft as a woman's skin.
Good day, Mr. Stainer.
Good day, Miss Mead. Do some thinking now. See what you can come up with before our next meeting.
before our next meeting. The last thing he said just as I left.
Oh, stop worrying and eat your dinner, Alexis. What there is of it. And you, Eric?
Those were his last words to me, too. That means he's going to call us in again.
Obviously.
Have my meat, Alexis.
Mother, no. No. You finish the meat. I don't want any more.
You don't want any more because you think I haven't had enough.
Well, you haven't. None of us has. None of us ever does.
Everything's in short supply.
Oh, and the prices. I was saying to Maggie Norton only the other day. I met her in the supermarket. You know, we hadn't seen each other in months.
You didn't say anything to Maggie. Anything that might be misconstrued.
What?
Anything she could have reported to the Bureau of Human Affairs.
Now, what do you take me for, Alexis?
I'm only trying to find out, searching for whatever it is Stainer knows.
But didn't he say he doesn't know?
Mother, he knows. Eric and I wouldn't have been ordered to appear if he didn't know. He's just playing cat and mouse. That's what he's doing. He's trying to get me, get us to confess to something.
Well, confess to what? I'm telling you, I'm so on edge even now, even after just one meeting with him. I'd tell him what he wants to know, if I knew what it is.
Eric, are you sure you don't?
Don't know?
Yes.
I don't get you, Alexis.
Is there... Could it be that you maybe said something sometime to someone that might have been better left unsaid?
You think I'm some kind of nut?
Of course not, but...
But what?
Don't be so touchy, Eric. You could have said something. I could. Mother could.
Not a word. Not a word.
I'm no fool, Alexis. Not me. You just don't know who you can trust anymore. I guess there wouldn't be any more coffee, Mrs. Mead, would there?
Maybe a few drops, Eric. Give me your cup.
Well, something has been said, and if we're smart...
Here you are, Eric.
We'll find out what it was. Because one thing is sure, what happened with Mr. Gilbert Stainer today is only the beginning.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
What do you mean?
Nothing, Mother. Oh, Mother, Mother, please, please, now
don't start crying. That's what you mean. Even maybe dead. Oh, why is Gusto, you're afraid to say have a good day to someone or keep well or anything? Well, I said to Maggie Norton, we haven't seen each other in months, and we were talking about the scarcities and the high prices, and she said not to worry because the protector would take care of things eventually. And I said, I could have bit my tongue. I said, you know, joking. I said, someday he'll protect us to death.
Eric, you dropped your cup.
I'm sorry.
Mother, you didn't say that to Maggie Norton.
Oh, I could have bit my tongue.
But I told you. You said it to me once, and I told you then to never say it again. Eric, what is it?
It's nothing.
Why did you drop the cup? Was it what Mother just said?
No, honestly.
Is that what Stainer is after? Is it?
Well, how do I know what Stainer is after?
You do know. What Mother said about the protector protecting us to death. Is that it? Eric, for heaven's sake, tell me. I can't stand not knowing. I can't stand it.
A stain is already spreading through Alexis Mead. To know the truth will be bad, but not knowing is even worse. As Gilbert Stainer is well aware, a human being can face what he knows, but fear of the unknown is the most corrosive destroyer of the human spirit yet discovered. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Here is an important message from Buick. Buick wants you to know that a cash rebate of $500 will be given to everyone who takes delivery of a new Buick Skyhawk by February 28, 1975. And a rebate of $200 will be given to everyone who takes delivery of a Buick Skylark or Apollo by February 28th. Buick's cash rebate program is just one of many reasons for buying a free-spirited 1975 Buick Skyhawk, Skylark, or Apollo. So see your Buick dealer.
This can make your blood pressure go up.
And Madame wish?
Oh, I'd like pâté to start, I think.
Oui, Madame.
And
darling.
Vichy soise.
Darling.
Chateaubriand? Yes, and petit soise.
Darling.
Yes, dear.
I forgot my wallet.
What, again?
Oh, monsieur. Yes, your blood pressure can go up, but usually it will come back down again. If it doesn't, you may have hypertension. But hypertension can be controlled. Your Heart Association advises you to see your doctor regularly. Mais oui.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
A small question. A simple, seemingly innocent question. Is there anything you'd care to tell me? A small, simple question? Yes, but one fraught with terror for those who are asked by Gilbert Stainer of the Bureau of Human Affairs. For Alexis Mead, of whom he has asked it. In the apartment she shares with her mother, Alexis faces her fiancé, Eric, and cries.
Eric, you know. You do know. For heaven's sake, tell me. I can't stand not knowing.
All right. I'll tell you. I didn't want to. I was afraid it would make things worse for you.
Eric, tell me.
This afternoon, Stainer asked me if I had ever heard anyone make that remark about the protector. Well, of course, I lied. I said no.
You had heard it. Where? Who said it?
Well, honey, you did.
I?
Don't you remember? We were sitting in the park and you said, well, I don't remember the exact words, but something like, Mother said the funniest thing today. Could be a dangerous thing if she ever repeated it. And I warned her not to, but you just had to tell me, you said. And you told me. You don't remember?
Yes. I'd forgotten about it. It didn't seem important then. There was no one around. No one could have overheard. Was there?
I don't remember. You know, we had a little laugh over it, and then I guess we both forgot it.
And he did ask you, Stainer.
If I'd ever heard that remark made by someone. And like I said no.
Well, is it such a terrible thing to say? I said it as a joke. You said it as a joke.
Mother, the trouble is the world we live in is no joke. I meant nothing, you meant nothing when you said what you said about protecting us to death. But they can take a thing like that and build it, and build it.
Alexis.
I'm sorry. So that's what he's after. He wanted me, wants me, to say. Perhaps you mean a remark my mother once made about the protector protecting us to death.
Would they torture me then? Kill me?
They'll never torture you, Mother, because they're never going to find out. Eric didn't tell Stainer where he'd heard it. And I'll certainly never tell him.
Under torture?
Not under the worst torture they can think of.
Eric?
Don't worry, Mrs. Mead. They'll get nothing out of me. I promise you that.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Thank you. I'll make a little more coffee. Not much. We can have a little.
Eric?
Yes?
Keep that promise. My mother, she's old and she's sick. And I love her. Keep your promise, Eric.
were staring at me as if you'd seen a ghost, Miss Mead. Sit down. Is there something wrong?
I was asked to come and see Mr. Stainer again. I didn't expect to find you behind his desk, Miss... Or is it Mrs.?
Miss Peters. Miss Peters. Mr. Stainer was called away unexpectedly. I'm taking over for him temporarily. I am his assistant, you know.
I didn't know.
Yes. And perhaps it's just as well, his being needed elsewhere at the moment. He himself thought, he mentioned, that you might speak more openly to me. You know, woman to woman.
Miss Peters, let's get something straight. I didn't know then, and I don't know now, what it is he wanted me to tell him.
But of course you do.
I do not. Oh, my. What was that?
What was what?
That scream.
Scream? You heard a scream.
You know I heard a scream. It came from the torture chambers in the cellar.
Now, don't tell me you believe the stories you've heard, Miss Mead. You know about the hideous tortures that go on in this place. Oh, we are not in the habit of torturing people here. Now, don't look so frightened, my dear. Oh, my goodness, the color has drained out of your face. Here, let me...
Oh! What are you doing?
My dear, I'm sorry. Did I hurt you? I only pinched your cheeks. Just a little to bring the color back. Oh, I am sorry if I hurt you. I didn't really, did I?
No.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. My good heavens, I wouldn't hurt you for the world, my dear. None of us would. Gilbert Stainer, there isn't a gentler, more sympathetic man on this earth. Any woman will tell you that. Any woman who gets to know him, that is.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
You'll see when you get to know him better. But he is a man, you know. By that I mean he can be, well, brutal, too. He has that other side to him. A side that shows when he, well, you might say, loses patience. Take a tip from me, Alexis. Don't make Gilbert lose his patience.
Thank you for the advice.
What is it now, Alexis?
You know what it is. That scream.
You're letting your imagination run away with you. Now, don't you start imagining things like frightful tortures and slow deaths. All you have to do, my dear, is tell us if there's anything you would care to tell us.
If you would tell me what it is you want to know.
But how could we know what it is you'd care to tell us?
Oh, this is impossible. This is just plain simply impossible.
No, no, you're tired, my dear. And those screams you thought you heard are still bothering you. I tell you what. You go home and think things over.
I don't have to.
But you do. Gilbert and I have been through this many times before, Alexis. Believe me, we have. And always, people come back and say, is this what you wanted to know? And it always is. You'll remember. I know you will. You'll remember.
Are you home? Eric! What took you so long?
I was asleep.
Asleep for 3 days and nights? I've telephoned you again and again. You haven't come to see me. Eric, what's happened?
Well, nothing, nothing. I've been very busy, tied up.
Is that why you're limping?
Well, I hurt my back.
You did? Or they did?
They?
You know who I mean. He had you tortured, didn't he? Stainer.
What gave you that idea?
The way you're limping and your jaw still swollen. Eric.
They tortured me.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my darling, my poor...
Don't, Alexis, don't.
What?
Don't touch me. Don't even come near me. Oh, my God.
Eric, darling, what?
I told them. I couldn't help myself. The pain. Impossible not to tell. Not to scream it out as loud as I could.
What? What did you tell them?
You know.
Tell me anyhow. I must be sure.
I told them, yes, I'd heard someone make that remark. Our protector will protect us to death. And then I told them, Alexis, forgive me. Forgive me. I told them it was you.
It's all right. It's going to be all right. The first thing we must do is keep our heads, not panic.
But you don't understand. I'm in no danger. You are. I saved my own neck by sacrificing yours.
Don't you realize you're in as much danger as I?
How can I be?
You are involved now. You're an accessory to the crime.
Crime? What crime? A harmless remark?
Eric, don't you understand? It's what the Stainers of this world feed on, turning the innocent into the guilty. It's their business. It's what they live for.
But what can we do?
The first thing I must do is protect Mother. Or did you tell them that, too? That Mother was the first to...
No.
All right, then at least she's safe. But they'll question me again now, and torture is more than likely.
Oh, what I've let you in for. I could kill myself.
None of that now. We've got to keep our heads. Think. Let me see. Luke. Luke Stevens.
Luke Stevens. What about him?
That place of his in the mountains. It's not too far from the border.
What are you talking about, the border?
Well, he's got to escape. Leave the country. There's no other way. Now, if we could get to Luke's place, we could hide there for a few days, then slip over the border.
Oh, that's impossible. I'm being watched now. You're being watched. We must be.
I'm sure of it, but we've got to try. We can't be any worse off than we are now, so listen to me.
Yes.
I'm going to go home. I will get Mother. In an hour, let's say an hour, you go down, get in your car, and drive to that favorite spot of ours in the park. Mother and I will meet you there, and then we'll get in your car and head for Luke's place in the mountains.
But if we're being watched...
We'll have to take the only chance we've got. Try to give them the slip.
Not much chance of that.
No. But it is the only chance we've got.
I don't understand, Alexis. Why suddenly do you want to go for a walk in the park? I don't feel like going for a walk.
Mother, please don't argue. I want to go for a walk, and I want you to come with me.
Well, you're acting very strangely, Alexis. And here, what are you stuffing in your handbag?
Mother, please.
Toothbrushes? Half a candy bar. The candy we've been saving for a special treat. Alexis, what is this?
I will tell you later.
You tell me now. Or I will not step one foot out of this apartment.
Mother, please trust me.
Oh, my goodness, it seems we have visitors.
Yes, I'm afraid we do. Yes?
Are you Alexis Mead?
Yes.
Is that your mother there?
Yes.
Both of you to come with me, please.
Where? And why are we to come with you?
I can't answer that.
You don't have to. I know where. And why.
Alexis Mead fights the terror that tries to surge through her as she and her mother go with the agent from the secret police. To what? Torture? Death? We'll find out when I return shortly with Act 3.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. Feel better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your cold to contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
As an actor, I think Grandpa Walton is one of my all-time favorite roles because he's in a family situation, meeting the down-to-earth problems of life.
Hello, I'm Will Gear, and I'd like to speak with you a moment about a down-to-earth problem that affects 6 million of our nation's children and adults and their families. It's mental retardation. We've all heard the words mental retardation, but what do they really mean? Well, technically, they simply mean that normal development fails to take place as an infant grows older. It can happen in any family, and because of any of a couple of hundred known reasons, and other reasons that aren't known. It's important to remember that every mentally retarded person can be helped to become a better functioning human being. With proper training and education, most retarded persons are capable of becoming productive and self-sufficient. Please give your help by supporting the work of your local association of the National Association for Retarded Citizens. Thank you.
An innocent remark has brought Alexis Mead, her mother, and her fiancé Eric to the brink of torture and possible death. Eric, breaking under the torture's exquisite pain, revealed he'd heard the remark from Alexis. But Alexis has not yet divulged that her mother, Emily, first made the remark to her. Not yet. Now, as all three sit and wait in a small room at the Bureau of Human Affairs, a fourth presence waits with them. An invisible but palpable presence whose name is Terror.
2 hours. They've kept us waiting 2 hours. Why? Why?
For the same reason they picked you up and brought you here with Mother and me. So we could break each other down with our personal fears and tensions.
Alexis, I want you to be honest with me. All this, it's because of that remark, that silly, joking remark I made.
No.
I'm sure it is. What else could it be?
I don't know what remark you're talking about, Mother. You never made any remark.
But of course I
know
I did. The one about the Alexis.
Speak to me.
I am trying to silence you, Mother. But I might have known that's impossible.
Room could be bugged.
Bugs? Bugs? Hidden microphones, Mother. Now, please, please don't say another word.
You, come with me.
Me? Where are you taking her?
Come along.
But I...
Move.
I... Wait a minute, please. My mother is old. She's old and she's sick. Wait, please wait. Eric, what are they going to do to her?
I don't like to think.
I can't stand it. Not to know what they're going to do to her. They're doing this to bring me down. They know what my mother means to me. They're using fear, my fear, of what they may do to her to break me.
Well, you can't be sure of that.
You, this way.
What for?
Just come along, please.
They're going to torture me again. I won't be able to stand it. Alexis!
Come along now.
Alexis! Alexis!
Oh, God. Yes. Yes, God. Oh, I go on my knees and I beg you to help me. I've never asked help of you in the past, but I need you now. Be with me, I beg you. If there's a way out, a way to escape, show it to me. Not for my sake, but theirs, Mother's and Eric's. I'm not begging for myself, but for them, because I love them.
Why, Miss Mead, what on earth are you doing on your knees?
I'm praying, Miss Peters.
Oh, come now. You don't really believe in God, do you?
I don't know.
Come along. Gilbert, Mr. Stainer is ready to see you now.
I've told him all I know.
Which was that you knew nothing. A lie, of course, but never mind. He has something to tell you.
What?
Come along, my dear. Find out for yourself.
Sit down, Miss Mead. Alexis, if I may, sit down. No, don't leave us, Miss Peters. Alexis won't mind if you stay, I'm sure. We're all friends by this time. Though you certainly don't look very friendly, Alexis.
Mr. Stainer.
Gilbert, please. I do want to be your friend, Alexis. I've wanted to be from the first. And I must say that I'm puzzled by your attitude. You have nothing to gain by being unfriendly toward me, and much to gain by being otherwise. And Miss Peters will tell you that.
It's true, Alexis.
I know that once Alexis realizes I want to be her friend, she'll be amenable to my wishes. You will now, won't you, Alexis?
That depends, Mr. Stainer.
Gilbert?
Mr. Stainer, that depends on your wishes.
My only wish at the moment is for you to tell me the truth.
About what?
When I first asked you here, I made clear to you that I simply wanted you to tell me anything you thought the Bureau ought to know.
And I made it clear to you that I knew of nothing, could think of nothing.
But of course you know now that you were wrong.
I know nothing of the sort.
Very well, Alexis. Miss Mead, I'll be plain with you. I first ordered you to come and see me because I'd learned of a remark that had been made. A treasonous remark. When I asked you to tell me about it, you denied all knowledge of it.
You never asked me about a treasonous remark. You asked me if there was anything I cared to tell you.
Certainly a treasonous remark, a remark punishable by death, my dear. Slow death, as you know, would be something you cared to tell.
If I'd known about the remark, I didn't, and I don't.
Curious. After all, you made it.
I made it?
Your fiancé, Eric, didn't tell you when you visited him late this afternoon? I can have him brought here to this office in minutes. He didn't tell you?
He said something about my having said something about our protector.
And what did you say about our protector?
It was said jokingly. I meant nothing by it.
Perhaps, but what did you say?
I said, if things kept on, our protector would protect us to death.
Well, at last, Peters, she has admitted it.
Well, of course, we knew she would, Gilbert. You never fail. You always have a way with women.
Thank you. So then, Miss Mead, you admit you said this to your fiancé?
Yes.
Knowing that treason is punishable by death?
I told you it was said as a joke.
A joke. Unfortunately, I fail to see the joke. If there is something funny in the thought that our protector will protect us to death... No, I simply don't see it. Perhaps you'd explain it, Miss Mead.
If it has to be explained...
Yes?
Jokes can't be explained. I've admitted I said it. What more do you want?
What more?
If I'm guilty of treason, I'm guilty of treason. Then torture me, kill me. But let my mother and Eric go.
Happily, if it's possible. If it's at all possible, after you tell me who first made the remark to you. Who?
No one.
There was someone.
There was no one.
We know there was someone. Who was it?
If you know, why do you ask me?
Oh, first we're unfriendly, now we're arrogant.
I'm not being arrogant.
You are what I say you are. Now let me tell you something, my independent, arrogant little wench. And you will be my wench before I'm through with you. Now, you can make it easy on yourself or hard. Which shall it be? The easy way is to admit to me here and now who made the remark to you. The hard way, I shall simply hand you over to Miss Peters. Well, the easy way, the hard way, which?
The easy way.
You're being wise. Who said to you, our protector will protect us to death? Well, who?
You want me to tell you in front of Miss Peters?
What?
You don't, do you?
Why shouldn't you?
Oh, I guess I said the wrong thing.
What wrong thing? What are you saying?
Oh, Gilbert. Gilbert, darling, I can't tell you with her here.
Oh, what the devil is she saying?
What the devil is she saying, Gilbert?
I don't know. I don't know.
What, Miss Mead?
I can't tell.
tell you that. Gilbert, please ask her to leave.
Ask her to... Oh, I see. I see a little game. You're trying some little game. You're trying to suggest in front of Miss Peters. Trying to suggest that somehow, in some way, there's something between us. Between you and me.
No. There's nothing between you and me.
Nothing.
One moment. If there is
nothing.
There's nothing.
There is nothing. Now, don't look at me like that, Peters. There is nothing. Now, you answer me. In front of Peters, answer me. Who said it to you first? Who?
All right, Gilbert. I see you trust Miss Peters, though I certainly wouldn't. Not if she was my assistant. I mean, not with all the suspicion, the mistrust, the doubt we all live with these days. Why, she could have your job 10 minutes after you were executed. She'd snap it up, too. You know that.
For the last time, who told you?
Well, if you insist. You did, of course.
I?
Gilbert, have you forgotten that night? Oh, that first night together, that gloriously rapturous night.
What in the name
of... Of course, I know you were, you weren't drunk, but you know, you talked a little too much, maybe. Said some things you'd not have said if...
No. No, she's lying, Peters. I swear she's lying.
If you say so, I suppose she is, but...
But what?
It's well known, Gilbert, Mr. Stainer, that you have a way with women.
Not this woman. Not this little conniving trollop. Believe me, Peters. Now, believe me.
I believe you, Mr. Stainer. And I'm sure our protector will, too.
What do you mean, our protector will?
He'll believe that everything I say in my letter is a lie. Nothing but a lie.
Say what in your letter? What letter?
Gilbert, darling, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But we do live in an age of terrible mistrust and suspicion, and, a girl has to protect herself, and so I wrote a letter to our protector telling him all about us.
There is nothing to tell about us. If you said there was, you lied. You lied!
No, darling, but let's hope he thinks so.
Well, when did you send this letter?
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't send it?
Gilbert, of course not. Would I want any harm to come to you after what we've been to each other? Weeks of torture? Slow death? Would I want that for you?
Where is this letter?
I have it. A friend of mine has it.
What friend?
Gilbert, if I told you that... Oh, of course, I can't. But you needn't worry about it. My friend won't send it unless... Well, unless something happens to me.
Unless... A shrewd little wench, Peters. A very shrewd little wench. There is nothing between us. There is no letter. I'm sure of that.
Are you, Mr. Stainer?
Of course. Of course. Still, well, there... Well, this has all been... It's crossed my mind more than once. A tempest in a teapot. Mountains out of molehills. The remark that was made, we've taken it too seriously.
We?
Well, you. Well, I, then. No harm done. None. You may go, Miss Mead.
And my mother? And my fiancé?
They can go, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I want a safe conduct out of the country.
A safe conduct?
For all three of us. My mother, my fiancé, and myself.
I heard it. I'll see it's arranged. Good day. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, and to you, Miss Peters... I think I said to you a little earlier. I think I said I didn't know whether I believed in God or not. Yes. I believe in him now, Miss Peters. I believe in him now.
I don't recall Alexis writing a letter, do you? Could have, though. Not important. I mean, whether there was a letter or wasn't. What strikes me as important is that she called on God for help, only in extremity. Seems to me we all of us make that same mistake. Sure, call on him when you need help, but call on him when you don't need anything. Just call. Doors always open, 24 hours a day. I'll be back shortly.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick. Living free.
Last month, I noticed my oldest boy. He seemed so much older. I spent a lot of time away from home, but boy, that was a shock. He's growing up without me. I figured if I was going to have any influence in his life at all, I'd better start now. So I set aside one night a week. And each week, I take a different child, and we go and do whatever they want. And you know, it's amazing what it's done for the kids. And me.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons.
All is well. Alexis and Eric are married now, living contented lives in this country. Alexis' mother's well, too. Talking a blue streak as always. There's a difference, though. In this country, she can say what she wants to say, and does, without worrying about it. Our cast included Terry Keane, Gordon Gould, Joan Shea, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Rosa, come have your tea. Rosa.
Oh, yes, yes.
All day you stand there looking out at the window as if you expect someone.
I expect someone, Benno.
Who?
You know who. The police officer.
Rosa.
Every time I see a policeman...
I killed a man who deserved to die.
You can't talk that way. They spoke that way. They decided who could live and who must die.
How many appointments have I today?
Oh, I'll look in the book. Why?
Cancel them.
I did that yesterday and the day before.
I don't feel well.
Benno, you know what you have to do.
Don't tell me anything. Let me be. I killed Meyer and it's over. Done with. It's in the past. And the past must be forgotten.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by imported Vigna Rosé wine. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
This is KOIN in Portland, where the time is 12 midnight. World, national, regional, and local news. Next in sound.
CBS News. A bomb has exploded in Jerusalem, not far from Secretary of State Kissinger's hotel. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Kissinger was staying at the King David Hotel about a mile from the scene of the blast. Bruno Wassertail has a report.
An explosive charge went off in Jerusalem about an hour before Secretary Kissinger was due to leave his hotel for a breakfast meeting with Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Two bodies were found at the site of the explosion about a mile from the hotel, and police believe the two were terrorists carrying the bomb when the device exploded prematurely. There were no other casualties or damage. The police cordoned off the area, and several arrests have been made. More are expected. The secretary, undeterred by the incident, left his hotel on schedule and is now meeting with the Israeli premier. Bruno Wassertail for CBS News in Jerusalem.
In a few hours, Kissinger will be leaving Israel, flying to Jordan to inform King Hussein of the progress in his talks. Kissinger described his discussions in Egypt and Israel as fruitful and positive. More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love, but give your cold to contact, the better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion, what next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The Tiny Time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give the cold to contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
4 men were killed and 4 other persons were wounded late Thursday night when gunmen opened fire inside a bar in suburban Montreal. Police said 3 masked men did the shooting and speculated it may have been a settling of accounts by the underworld. On Cyprus, the government of Archbishop Makarios says it will go to the United Nations over a decision by Turkish Cypriot leaders proclaiming an autonomous state in Turkish-occupied northern Cyprus. The government of Greece denounced the action, calling it arbitrary and illegal. The U.S. government said it will continue to recognize the government of Cyprus as the legitimate government of the island. Several firemen were treated for smoke inhalation following a blaze that broke out late Thursday night in one of the 2 World Trade Center towers in New York, the towers of the tallest buildings in Manhattan. Fire dispatcher Bob Raft has these details.
The fire was on the 11th floor with possibly extended to the upper floors, and it's a slow process of putting the fire out now at this time. The fire is not declared under control yet. But it's a slow, gradual process to knock it down. The extension into the walls and everything else, and they have to check out all the walls and pull the ceilings and open the walls up to check for any extension of fire.
Officials say no civilians were hurt in the blaze. President Ford has nominated Carla Anderson Hills to be the new Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. She's an Assistant Attorney General. If confirmed, Mrs. Hills would become the 3rd woman to serve as a cabinet member. Chairman William Proxmire of the Senate Banking Committee immediately opposed the nomination, saying Mrs. Hills has no known experience or qualifications to run the housing agency. President Ford flew back to Washington late Thursday night after a busy day in New York. The president appealed for what he termed a coalition of confidence with the Democratic-controlled Congress. He said it would be a tragedy if conflict jeopardizes the foreign policy achievements of recent years. The president spoke at a dinner honoring Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. Earlier in the day, Mr. Ford had told some Wall Street securities analysts that congressional opposition to his energy program is worsening the energy shortage. Now this.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
Thursdays after painting class, we usually go out to eat. Helen would always drink. Later, she'd pick up her daughter at school and drive home. One day, there was a terrible accident. Well, what could I have done?
If your friend has a drinking problem, don't let her drive when she's had too much to drink. Call a cab. Drive her yourself. That's what friends are for.
I didn't want to lose a friend.
Remember, when a problem drinker drives, it's your problem. A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The Pentagon says the rising unemployment rate has resulted in a good situation for the military services. Defense Department manpower official William Brehm says all four services now have waiting lines of qualified volunteers. Brehm says the situation is allowing the services to become more selective about the quality of people who enlist. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
TriMet officials report the number of riders on the three-county Portland metropolitan system has increased by more than 20% since January 20th. This included increases of up to 87% on bus lines serving the outlying areas during the week of February 3rd through 7th. The outlying bus increase comes as commuters are paying a flat 35-cent fare, with the exception of the fareless section in downtown Portland. Reed College in Portland will sponsor a three-day symposium in March to focus on public policy implications of behavior control. The dates of that symposium will be March 6th through 8th. Valentine's Day will be cake time for more than 100 Portland senior citizens and Governor Bob Straub and others in the Capitol in celebration of the state's birthday. The senior citizens who participate in the Loaves and Fishes program in Portland will dine on cake furnished by Oregon Bank. The bank also will provide the heart-shaped cake for Straub to be cut in his ceremonial office as third graders sing Happy Birthday. At noon, Thomas Vaughn, director of the Oregon Historical Center, will give a talk on Admission Day to members of the House of Representatives. The sons and daughters of Oregon pioneers will hold a banquet in Portland tonight to celebrate the state's anniversary. A 29-year-old man freed from the county jail at Sand Point, Idaho, at gunpoint last July, has been sentenced to 75 years in prison. 29-year-old William Morgan was sentenced after pleading guilty to charges of kidnapping and armed robbery. Morgan was put on an airplane bound for the state prison in Boise, Idaho, immediately following his court appearance, since authorities feared another attempt might be made to free him. Morgan was being held at the Bonner County Jail last July 22nd on a parole violation charge when two men freed him at gunpoint. He then was accused of kidnapping and robbing a California man and his son about 1 week later near Clark Fork, Idaho. Another man, 23-year-old Stefan Stakavewicz, is awaiting trial in Sandpoint on an accusation he helped in Morgan's escape. A group of fraternity and sorority members of the University of Oregon and Oregon State University successfully testified against a proposal to eliminate the property tax exemptions for the organization's houses. The students testified that the exemptions approved by the 1973 legislature helped keep them competitive with university dorms, which do not pay taxes. The Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police has elected Chief Don Newell of Beaverton as the new president. Others named are Albany Chief Darrell Pepper as vice president and Ontario Chief Jimmy Jones as secretary treasurer. And if you're traveling north at this hour, the Washington State Highways Department says that Snoqualmie Pass is now open to westbound traffic, but is not eastbound, but will be by the time you get there. Stevens Pass Highway was opened yesterday afternoon, but restricted to one-way traffic through the Old Faithful area, and chains are required for eastbound traffic at Scenic. The passes had been closed by snowslides since Tuesday night. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, a few showers this morning, partial clearing this afternoon. It'll be fair tonight and Saturday with morning clouds, highs about 50, lows tonight in the mid-30s, westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour today, and the chance of measurable precipitation decreasing to 10% this afternoon and tonight. Right now it's 47 degrees at the airport, it's 37 degrees at the airport and 40 degrees downtown, and that's KOIN News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.